You been walking past the yard and say, no trespassing? That means don't enter that. That's what sin. Sin is you leaving my presence. It's two presences that you can walk in. You either walking in darkness or you walking in light. So sin is us abandoning the presence of the Father and going into the presence of the Father of lies. So he said, I never leave you. I've always been with you. The one common denominator in your movie you will always see is you and the Father. People might leave. It might be somebody different. But when it comes to your personal walk, the Father never left you. He orchestrated everything. He was trying to get your attention. That's why when you look in the Bible and you see stories like Jonah, you begin to understand. Like, no, I said, go talk to Nineveh. You're going to go talk to Nineveh. I said, go to Nineveh. You're going to go to Tarshish. So I had to create this storm to get you back to the, because I care about them people too. I sent you on I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm never going anywhere. You need to know that. Because what Satan tries to get us at is abandonment. What Satan tries to get us at is rejection. So the Father is always speaking the same thing. And this is what I wanted to turn me down just a little bit. This is where I want to get your mind at. It's stuck in that place where you know that he would never, ever, ever leave you. And you know the difference between his voice and Satan's voice. You know the difference between, watch this, not just his voice, your voice, and his voice. Sometimes it ain't Satan, it's you. Satan is not the one that doubts. It's you that doubts. Satan may feed you the fuel to doubt, but you do the doubting. That's your thought process. That's a whole nother conversation. That's why he said, let this mind that be in you, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. Jesus had a mindset where he knew how to tune everything out, everybody out, and just stick to the script that was written for him. Came to John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, you the Messiah? I need you to baptize me. He said, no. He said, the Father wrote it like this, so we're going to do it like this. I know the status may seem like I'm on another level, but in this phase of my life, you are the one that needs to baptize me. So we have to learn how to hear the Father's voice. And sometimes the situation, I'm prophesying to somebody, sometimes the situation he's putting you in, you think it's a dark moment, it's not. He's teaching you and training you how to hear his voice in that. He's teaching you how to rely on him. You trying to pull out. He's not willing. He don't want you to leave that situation. He wants to leave you right there and you learn how to hear. That's ministry. That's ministry. That's the assignment of your life. Is the thing you want, divorce? Nope. You're gonna learn how to hear right there in that marriage. Come on. Kids, you're gonna learn right there. You're gonna learn how to hear my voice while they act a fool. Come on. You're gonna learn. The job, they getting on your nerves. No, I'm not moving you to a job where you can be more peaceful. I'm teaching you peace at the job. You trying to run. No. We gonna work on peace right here. He said this, they said this, they racist, so. Who am I? You telling me who they are. You're magnifying them and you're making me small. He's not interested in pulling you out of situations and circumstances. I know you don't want to hear that. But he is not. The thing you're trying to run from is the thing he designed for you to get your chops up, for you to learn how to hear his voice. So, we're still in, turn me down just a tad bit. We're still in talking about sonship, but we're going to enter into a new series. Still along the same line, but we're going to talk from the topic in this month of sonship and the Holy Spirit. Sonship and the Holy Spirit, okay? We are still in our relationship pillar. So we're learning how to, I have to bombard your ears with things about the Father. So when we leave this, every time we come around to the relationship pillar, you should leave this more confident in the relationship. Like, without a shadow of a doubt, you cannot tell me God is not my father. Like, there's no conversation that could ever enter into my head, into my ears, that I can be around where somebody could tell me God is not my father. That's sealed. That's sealed. And so every time we go through these pillars, you should come away from these pillars knowing, okay, knowing truth. God is my father. He predestined me. He purposed me. He called me. He chose me. So we're going to talk from the topic of sonship and the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to do one, you know, volume. I mean, one, two, and three. Okay. I don't have no specific titles for the teaching. We're just going to do the series, and we're going to do one, two, and three. All right. Part one, two, and three, and four. I was listening to Dr. Hardy got problems, y'all. So I won't even tell y'all what she was doing yesterday. She got problems, okay? So I was, yeah, we just riding past churches, and she just pulling up. Never mind. She got, y'all pray for her. Y'all want to do it right now or later, okay? But I was listening to a guy yesterday. He had a title, a series, a title, and a subtitle. I was like, ah, and if I could come with a subtitle, it would be. I was like, you do need a series title, a title, and a subtitle? Just make it another message. No, I'm just playing. Okay. And so we're going to give me my sonship stages. We're going to start right there. Let me pray. Father, we thank you right now for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's simple, right? We got to be deep. Abba, in the name. No, we're not doing all that, okay? We don't have to do all that, all right? Just, okay. So these are the stages of sonship. We usually just do nepios, pateon, technon, niskos, and weos. I added brethos there because brethos represents the child that, or the person that comes to church. Well, in the Greek, it represents the child that is still in the belly, that is still in the womb, and has not been birthed yet, or has just been birthed. Okay? And so we usually just deal with nepios, pateon, technon, niskos, and weos. And these are all from the Greek. And so anytime you're teaching and you're talking about translation, you cannot teach translation from the Bible without teaching the Greek. All right. And in the Greek, they didn't just say children and child. You know, if it was a brethos, if it was a baby that was newborn, they said brethos. If it was an infant, they said nepios. We just say child. My son, my daughter. Okay, if it was a child of a certain age, they would say pateon. If it was at a teenage level, they would say technon. If it was at a young adult level, they would say niskos. And if it was at a full mature son or daughter, they would say weos. And weos actually also means not only mature, but it means legal. Okay, it means legal. All right. And so brethos deals with a spiritual newborn babe. Nepios deals with a spiritual babe learning to trust the Father and relying on basic principles. Pateon is when a child is developing a deeper understanding of the Father's character and beginning to experience the kingdom of God. Technon is the teenage, or I like to say the learn stage, and it's when the child starts to grasp their destiny. And they decide to take on responsibility for the assignment that was given to them. Niskos is the child that lives according to the word of God, come on, that overcomes challenges and is becoming more like Christ. Then weos means that you fully represent the Father and you are living in the fullness of your inheritance and you are ushering in the kingdom of God in everything you do and say. So we're all striving for weos, amen? We're all striving to be mature. This is why you come to church. Okay, this is why you come to church, because you want to be developed. Okay, so I want my inheritance. Okay, you want everything that he has for you. But the only way you can get it is by maturing. You can pray until the angels come down to heaven and talk to you. When they get there, they're going to say you need to mature. Okay, You can cry until your eyes turn red. When you get done crying, a voice from heaven gonna say you need to mature. There's no way of getting around it. You have to mature. Okay, there's no way around it. The life that he has for you, he can only do it as you hold his hand and you hear his voice and you desire him more than anything else. Amen. And so we're going to talk about in this series sonship, but we're going to talk about sonship and levels of development. I didn't talk too much about the development of each stage because I was waiting to do it in this series. And so we're going to talk about sonship, but we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and sonship, because a lot of times we have been taught about the Holy Spirit, but it has been out of context. Why? Because it has not been within the relationship. It's just the Holy Spirit and it's standalone, and you have no idea that you are a child of God. You have no idea that he's Abba, that he's your father. And so how does the Holy Spirit participate with me being raised? Okay. And so when we talk about, when we say the Holy Spirit, I always have to let you know that the Holy Spirit is not a word. So you can go look in the Greek. You can look in the Hebrew. Matter of fact, if we went back to Hebrew and just went to the beginning of the Bible, it's Yah, it's Yeshua, and then it's Ruach of God. Okay, so we're just, the Holy Spirit in Hebrew is just called the breath of God. We done made it another person. We done did all type of stuff with it, okay? Yeah, go change it back. Because that music has a frequency. Okay, so, when we talk, when we say Holy Spirit, or you hear someone say Holy Spirit, but then when you read scripture, you hear Spirit of God. Come on. Come on. You hear Spirit of God. You hear Spirit of the Lord. You hear Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of revelation, Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So it's a lot of conversation in the Bible that talks about the Spirit, and we stay with just the Holy Spirit. What about the Spirit of adoption? What about the seven spirits? All right. And so I taught a teaching that lets you know that the when we say Holy Spirit, that is all encompassing. All right. It deals with every spirit that is in God. Okay. The Holy Spirit at the first level that you have to understand is it's the voice of your Father. Amen. It is the voice of your Father. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit has to be known as the voice of your Father. So when we say the Spirit of God, when we say this, this lets us know that this Spirit is releasing divine things to us because it's the Spirit of God. The Bible said the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. That word hover means the word brood, which means is when a hen sits on an egg until it's hatched. This is where we get that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. This is where we get the word incubator from. And this is what the Holy Spirit does to your life, is it incubates you to develop you. Amen? Amen. And so when it says the Spirit of the Lord, that's letting you know that the Spirit has come upon you to rule. It has come upon you to make you a Lord. It has come upon you to make you a master of the thing in which it is asking you to do. When we're talking about the Spirit of wisdom, that's we're saying that the Spirit, not only the Spirit, but the angels are releasing wisdom to you. So there's an army of angels that just release wisdom. There's an army of angels that just release the conversation of adoption to you. There's an army of angels that release a divine understanding to you. And the whole purpose of it being called the Holy Spirit is because it's letting you know that this is the essence of the Spirit. So anytime you say the Holy Spirit told me, what you're saying is that it is cultivating me in the area of holiness. You can never say the Holy Spirit said something to you and it didn't make you holy. That's the whole purpose of calling the Holy Spirit. Spirit is the noun. Holy is the adjective. So it's just like if I said black woman, what type of woman am I talking about? A black woman. If I say black man, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a black man. The black just describes the type of man it is. The black just describes the type of woman it is. So holy just lets us know the type of spirit it is, because there's unholy spirits. There's ungodly spirits. There's unrighteous spirits. There's more than one conversation. And sometimes we say we heard in the spirit, or even that we heard God, but we didn't hear the Father. we just heard in the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, there's a lot of conversations there. There's a lot of conversations in the spirit realm. Most, some of them are holy, some of them are unholy. Amen. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about atmosphere. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of God hovered over the face of deep. So it literally encapsulated the earth, the planet. And he said, let there be light. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're also talking about clothing. The Bible said the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in a bodily form. It came on him like a robe, like a garment. He told the disciples, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued. That word endued means to be clothed. He said, go there and wait till you be clothed with the power from on high. So he's releasing robes. He's releasing mantles. Have you not ever wondered why you see mantles in the Old Testament, but you don't see them in the New Testament? You see ephods in the Old Testament. They even got the whole design of how the ephod look. Why do we need to know that? He's given us visuals of what happens to the priesthood in the spirit when you stay in prayer so long. The story of the prodigal son. He came home. He came back to his father's house. He left darkness. Watch this. And he came into light. When he got into light, his father greeted him with a hug. He spoke to his father and he told his father, he said, based on what I just did with my inheritance, he said, I don't deserve to be your child. The father didn't say anything to him. He turned and talked to the servant, which represents angels. And he said, get him a robe, get him rings, get him sandals, and let's celebrate. So it's letting you know, Jesus has given us a picture of what the Holy Spirit looks like. And I've been in church forever, and I've heard people teach on the Holy Spirit, but there's never a visual. We don't know how do we participate with that? Jesus said when it came to the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm going to baptize you in it. He said, now I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He said, in that of fire. Then there's the protocol of being filled with the Spirit. So there's three Greek words, and I'm going to go through this quick, but I'll put them all up there so you guys can get a better understanding. We won't talk about it in full today. So there's three Greek words when the Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the first word is plerous, okay? And y'all don't have to write it now. We'll come back to it, and I'm going to put it up there for you guys to see it. I'm just kind of going over it right now. The first word is plerous, it's pimplame, and then it's pleris, okay? The word plerous is when the Spirit fills a room, okay? The word pimplame is when, because the Spirit has filled the room, it now rests on you. That's pimplame, which means it has now furnished you like a garment. Then there's the word pleris, which means that you have been, the room was filled, the Spirit came upon you, but now pleris means that it permeated your soul. This now means you are now full of it. And so filled does not mean full. Filled means that just like in going to school, filled means that you have enrolled in a university and there are professors there willing to teach you. There are classrooms there. There are assignments, but you have to attend it. Okay, that's pimplame. But pleris means that I graduated. Now I have all the content that my professors have said, and I'm ready to go on and do the profession. This is what it meant when they said that when Jesus came out the wilderness, he was full of the Spirit. He wasn't filled. They got filled on the day of Pentecost. But as you stay there in the Spirit and you stay there in his presence, you become full, which means your mind, your heart, and your soul are now occupied with the voice of the Father, with the assignment. Amen? And so let's read some scriptures. John 16 and 7, it says, and this is the conversation of Jesus talking to us about the Holy Spirit. He says, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I am leaving. For if I do not leave, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's saying that if you want to hear on my level, I have to go. Okay, because until I'm gone, you can't even experience salvation. Because I'm the blood that was shed for you to have salvation. So until I leave, so it's to your advantage that I go. They wanted him to stay. He's like, no, the purpose of this is to get you on my level. I died so you could be a child of God and you could hear him. I'm come to seek and save that which was lost. So I have to go away so that we can send the helper, the paracletus, so that we can send assistance. And the scripture even says another helper. So Christ is the first helper, and this is another helper, all right? Verse 8, it says, and he, when he comes. Now, is he, not because it's a person, not because it's a male, all right? Is he because it's deity and it's not human? That's why it's capitalized. So it's saying that he, because it is deity. It's saying he, because it is masculine and is going to impart. So it says, and he, when he comes, will convict the world. So now this is what we have to understand, that when the Spirit comes, when our Father speaks, there's two conversations being released, one to light and one to darkness. Y'all with me? There's two conversations being released at one time. So he says, when he comes, he will convict the world. So when the Spirit speaks, when our Father speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, when the Spirit of God speaks, when the Spirit of wisdom, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks, it is speaking to the world to convict them. Not to tell them destiny, not to make them rich, not is convicting them regarding sin, regarding righteousness and judgment. Verse 9. He said, regarding sin, because they do not believe in me. So he says, you won't stop sinning and conform. So we got to have this conversation of sin. The Son is the Word. He's what we conform to. All right. And if we don't conform to him, we stay in sin. Verse 10. It says, and regarding righteousness, it says, because I am going to the Father and you no longer are going to see me. So I have been justified. I have been made right in his eyes because he went to the Father. Then verse 11, it says, and regarding judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So he's saying that because judgment is going to happen because Satan is here, and there's a group of people who are going to follow him, and there's a group of people who are going to follow me. And those that follow him will be judged like he will be judged. Because you are more in line with him, because he is your Father. The Father did not make hell to send people there. He made hell so you could have an option of where you want to go. If I'm your Father while you're here on this planet and I father you on this planet, then when you die, you come with me. If I do not father you and you allow Satan to father you, you go with him. You will be judged. There's the white throne judgment in which those who did not live in Christ will be judged. But then there is a judgment seat of Christ in which you will be judged based on sonship, based on your maturity level. Y'all tracking? Verse 12. It says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them at this present time. Meaning you can't hear on that level. You can't hear yet. Verse 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth. So now he's letting you know what this Spirit is about to release. Truth. So it's going to reveal the Father's plan. This is what Paul taught under. That's why when you read Paul's writings and his teachings, he's revealing truth to you. He had revelation in which he heard from another realm. That's why he can look at Hagar and he can look at Sarah and say they represent law and grace. Truth. You can read that all day long and you won't see that. He was there to bring truth. And so he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now, what you have to understand that when truth is released so you can hear it. So the conversation and what the scripture is saying he's doing is he's going to engage your soul. He's going to deal with your mind. He's going to deal with your heart to develop your soul. So all of this deals with the spirit interacting with your soul. Your spirit is being interacted with through being born again. So you're born again at the spirit level. Your divine nature has changed, but now you need to learn how to hear the Father's voice. And you need to mature into that voice because it's not just about you being born again. Hello? It's not just about you being born again. There's an assignment. There's a calling. There's purpose. There is destiny. Okay? And when it's all said and done, he wants to see his sons and daughters dominating the planet. So there has to be an interaction. There has to be a conversation in which I build you up to get you to that place where you feel comfortable dominating. Where you feel comfortable subduing. Where you feel comfortable challenging Satan. Okay? Where you feel comfortable in any environment I put you in, you reveal light instead of succumbing to darkness. So the spirit is here to deal with you at the soul level, to minister to you. Verse 14, he says, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Why? Because you have an inheritance in him. And you are a joint heir. So the spirit is going to tell you this is what belongs to you. Okay? The scripture says that the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know how many people say they heard the spirit and they hear in the spirit, but they never heard God say, you are my child. They heard, the convicting. They heard condemnation. But they don't hear him saying, you are my child. It's okay. Don't worry about that. I got you. Verse 15, he said, all things that the Father has are mine. This is why I said that he takes from mine and he will disclose it to you. So the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, whatever you want to call it, okay, it is going to reveal to you that you are a child. So the first level of the Spirit is the Father's voice. If you said you heard the Holy Spirit, then you had to hear the Father's voice. And that voice had to become as the spirit of adoption to let you know that you are accepted, to let you know that you are righteous. That's why Paul came to the church and he said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a royal priest. That's what Peter said. He wasn't talking about their sins. He was letting them know who you are. Sometimes you need to hear who you are to stop doing what you're doing. Sometimes learning who you are will make you stop. So when the Spirit speaks to you, it speaks to you as the voice of the Father, encouraging you to become who he said you are, because he can't do nothing in this planet until you do what he called you to do. And each one of us are special. Okay? Everybody has a unique destiny. So what I do, you can't do that. Everybody has a different fingerprint. You are unique to you. What you do, even if you were an apostle and you preach sonship, we don't look the same. Our voice inflections are different. Our height is different. Our past is different. The parents we come from is different. Even if we did the same thing, we are not the same people. Our task will always be different. There's a group of people that I can speak to that you will never be able to talk to. There's a group of people that you can talk to that I can never reach them. That's the importance of the body. That's why we're growing up into the body. We're not just coming to church to become in the church. No, after we leave here, we are to grow up in the body. So the first level that you hear the Spirit at is the voice of the Father. The second is as a child. You hear him as a child. You hear the voice of the Father, but you hear him as a child. You know your position in that covenant. Amen. You know your position. And so that's all I'm going to give you on that. I'll give you more later. So it is because of sonship that the Spirit of God interacts with you. Amen. It is because of sonship. It is the voice of the Father and you hearing as a child that the Spirit interacts with you. It has no other reason to nudge you. So he's not coming to you telling you about a great destiny before he's telling you you're his child. He's not coming to you telling you you're going to do mighty and you're going to do great things, but you don't hear as a child. Those two things have to happen first. They have to. So the only reason why the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord interacts with us is because we are his children. Because of sonship, because we need to mature. Amen. So this is why the Spirit tells us you are a child. Not only are you a child, but you're an heir of God. And you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. This is the Spirit talking. How do we know? This is what Paul teaches. Or better yet, the letters that Paul wrote. It was he was hearing the Spirit of God. And then he was telling them what the Spirit of God was telling him based on the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he was letting you know the conversation that I'm giving you is coming from another realm. In this realm, the legalistic, the Pharisees can only give you law. They can only put you under statutes. They can only tell you what you do right and what you do wrong. They can only stone you. They can't help you. They didn't have a class and a conversation of, brother, you suffering, you're not doing the right thing right now. Come over here, let us teach you and make you better. Nope, it was you did the wrong thing, it's time to stone you. But then Jesus come up on the scene and said, whoever has not sinned, cast the first stone. So we switching to grace now. It's time to grow. Let's get rid of the law and let's go into grace. Because if I stone you for everything you do, you can't grow. Okay? If I beat you every time you do something wrong, then you become fragile. It's called abuse. Okay? We are in a covenant where we will not be abused. But we are also in a covenant where we can abuse ourselves. Amen? Did I help you on that one? You're in a covenant now where the spirit realms tells you what's going to happen if you do that. And if you keep doing that and staying there, you're going to make that come to pass. He didn't do it. You did that. He keep telling you, do it this way. I don't want to mention what it is. You already know. He say, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. And the moment you continue to do it the wrong way, then the thing in the spirit realm, you eclipse grace and the thing that you wanted to happen or that you wanted so bad, it happens. That's why he gave the people in Romans, he gave them a reprobate mind. He said, okay, that's the life you want to live? I'm going to go ahead and let you do it. I'm not going to bother you. So whatever happens, happens. But I'm letting you know this is not the path I chose. This is not the path I chose for you. This is the path you chose. And because the spirit realm has laws in it already, and you were not, that's why the Bible says the ways of a transgressor are hard. Because you're trying to do something in the natural and the Father said, he already told you how to do it and it's not going to work. Hallelujah. Am I helping you? It's not going to work. It don't matter how much you keep trying to, it's not going to work until you do it his way. So it makes you hear his voice. Let's continue on. Romans 8:28. It says, and we know, I know we love the scripture, don't we? And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. This is how the Spirit speaks. It's two categories. He causes all things to work together for those who love him. Now, those who love him. Amen. This ain't got nothing to do with you making mistakes. You can love somebody and make mistakes. Matter of fact, you're going to make mistakes in this walk. It's impossible for you not to. Because you're walking blind. You don't see everything in the spirit realm. You're learning it. When you're born again, you now see the kingdom of God. Which means before you were born again, you didn't see the kingdom of God. So you're going to make mistakes. You cannot get out of that. He knew it. Grace. When sin abound, grace abound even the more. What is sin? Anything that you do that is not under that is not aligning you with the law of Christ, which is sonship. What's a sin? Anything that in my household, a sin is anything that my kids do that they know we told them not to. That's a sin. Because you're going against the name. You're going against the household. You're misrepresenting the kingdom. This is what sin is. But it was an expectation that you would sin and he will walk you through it and walk you out of it and love you through it because you came in as a sinner. So it wasn't like you're born again now cold turkey. It's impossible. Grace is for growing. So there's two different categories. All things work together for those who love him. If you love me, you keep my commandments. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you didn't even know you was breaking that commandment. You didn't even know you was breaking it. I'd be sitting here teaching, and they'd be like, ooh. I see y'all face sometimes. Y'all be like, ooh, I've been doing that. Then the other one is those who are called according to his purpose. You have answered the call and you move according to his purpose. He says, if you love me and you answer the call and you move according to my purpose, he says, I make all things work together for the good. Even when it don't like it's working, it's working. Why? Because you love me and you are called according to my purpose. You lost your purpose. You lost your will. You don't want to do things your way. Abba. You don't want to do things your way. But he got a way of convincing you when you want to do it. All right, keep it moving. So this is why the Spirit speaks to us. The Spirit speaks to us because of sonship. Outside of sonship, you're convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You need to get it together. That's all the world is hearing. So let him tell you, God ain't told you nothing but sin, righteousness, judgment. You need to be born again. You need to come into the kingdom. You need to come into the household. I got a purpose for you. You need to repent. You need to change your mind. You need to get on my agenda. Verse 29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. This is why the Holy Spirit speaks to you, because he foreknew you and you're predestined. So he's already determined what you're going to do. You didn't have no say in the matter. He already determined what you're going to do. This is why he speaks. The Spirit speaks to you. The Spirit has no need to speak to you based on what you got going on. I'm sorry. Is it harsh? It's informative though, right? Okay. That's all I want to do. I want to wake you up. I want to wake you. He's not participating in your agenda. I predestined you to do this. It don't matter what I do in life, don't answer as an apostle. Your life going to be miserable. Don't answer the call. Everything not going to work. But because you answered it, even when it don't look like it's working. Even when we look like we losing, we winning. So the Spirit speaks to you because he foreknew you and he predestined you. But he predestined you to do what? Conform to the image of his son. So as long as you conform to the image of his son, the Spirit speaks. When you decide you no longer want to conform, the Spirit stops speaking. Why? Because he said it's the Spirit of truth. And he can't lie. So he says, for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. So the Father wants us to know truth. He wants to make his plan known plainly to all of us. He wants you to know this. Verse 30, it says, and those he predestined, he also called. Well, If he call you and you answer, then that means all things gonna work together for the good. So it says everybody that he predestined, he called. He called you into the family. He called you into servitude. He called you into ministry. He called you into a lot of different things. Okay? It says, and those he called, he also justified you. So he made you right. He's trying to let you know this is a spirit speaking. He made you right in his eyes. You don't have to be right in my eyes. You just have to be blameless. You don't have to be right in the eyes of men. You're already perfect in his eyes. He already knew the issues. He knew the problems. He's working it out. So you don't have to come to church with a front like you got it. You don't have it all together. Just say that. Just say that. Right now, he working on me. I don't have it all together. And the truth be told, none of us do. Because at every level, you blindfolded. You go from level one, and as soon as you learn level one, it's like, okay, now it's time for level two, just like school. You in first grade, and now all summer you thinking, oh, second grade going to be hard. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. Then third grade going to be hard. And then you find out it was cakewalk. Okay, then now you got to go to high school. And your mind is a whole nother level. Now you graduate from high school, now it's college. And you always swear it's going to be hard and you can't do it. And then you get the degree. You graduate. Because he made us to adapt. He made us to adapt. And so every level you blindfolded. That's why he gave you teachers. Uh-oh. At every level you need a teacher. You need a when you get to certain places, you need a professor. You don't need somebody to explain A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry for saying that. In some levels, you don't need to keep coming back to church hearing Jesus out on the cross. You need a professor. You need somebody that can break the scriptures down and bring you to another level. You don't need to keep here. You need to get saved. I've been saved for 20 years. You keep telling me the same. I know I need to be saved. I'm already saved. I'm already born again. Now I need to walk in purpose and in destiny. So I need somebody that's going to teach me at a level that pulls me up, that forces me. That when I leave, I'm like, I need to go home. I need to work on this. I need to pray. Come on, you need some homework. When you go home, you're like, okay, well, I guess I ain't praying enough. I need to fast. Okay, that's how I have to teach you. It's some places I shouldn't say it, but it's some stuff you hear and you go and you leave and you don't feel convicted. You feel like you're good because you saved. You feel like you good. You saved, so you don't feel convicted. It's time to dominate. Uh-oh. What am I dominating? What is my prayer life like? Jesus prayed 40 days. And then after that, he was tempted by the devil. So he said, those he justified, he also glorified. So he needs to let you know, this is what I gave you. This is what you're equipped with. You know, glory means that he gave you light, that you are his dignitaries. Go do the research. Y'all better start studying. You better start looking up words. Instead of saying stuff, glory be to God. What does that mean? Jesus said, the glory you've given me, I've given them, so we can be one. So the same glory that's on Jesus is on you. Jesus said, I glorified you by doing what you put me on earth to do. Are you glorifying him? This is why the Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you because of sonship, not because your new job, not because your career. So, this is the agenda of the Spirit, is to conform you, is to mature you, to walk you from an infant all the way to a mature child of God. Why? So he can use you. You only exist, come on, say I only exist because he want to use me. He want to use you somewhere in the seven mountains, somewhere in the seven mountains. Everybody is not a part of the church mountain. Everybody not a preacher. Everybody not an apostle. Didn't Paul say it? We're not all apostles. We're not all prophets. We're not all teachers. We're not all pastors. We're not all evangelists. Some of you operate and function in family. You're a great mother, and you just pray to the place where you dominate the spirit realm. You don't have to preach one message. What you doing with your kids is it. Because they're going to be the next level. Some of us belong to government. Some of us belong in business. Some of us in education. Some of us in media. Some of us in arts and entertainment. Wherever he wants to use you, this is why the Spirit is speaking to you. Every gift and talent, he said, them gifts will bring you before kings. But it's only based on how you allow the Spirit to develop you. So, Galatians 4:19. This is Paul talking. He said, my children, or my technons, because technon is the learned stage. It's when you love the classroom. At the Nepios and the Pateon, you hate the classroom. Them the ones you got to keep calling. You coming to church? You coming to church? You coming to church? That's the Nepios and Pateon. The Brethos, Nepios, and Pateon. You coming to church? You coming to church? You sure you coming to church? They don't like the classroom. But when you hit that technon level, you love the classroom is mandatory. Why? Because you see destiny. You see a calling. You see an assignment. And the most important thing is you want to participate. I want to be used in this generation. I want to be a voice. I want him to use me. Every gift, every talent, every ability, Abba, use it for your glory. So I must what? Learn. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. Why? Because I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart. And when you learn of him, what you'll learn is that he only did what his ear was tuned to the Father. Everything he did. That's why I say the first level of hearing in the Spirit is hearing the Father. It's not prophecy. Come on. It's not prophecy. It's not casting out devils. It's not raising people from the dead. It's not healing people. That's not the first level. The first level is hearing him, because you end up trying to do somebody else's assignment. Everybody in the body of Christ is not going to heal somebody by laying their hands on them. Everybody not going to heal somebody from cancer or AIDS, HIV. Some of you going to heal just by hugging, just by somebody coming in your presence, you're going to heal them. That's why it's the gifts of healing. It's the gifts of healing. We gonna heal people different. Sometimes you gonna heal somebody with some money, cause they never thought somebody could love them or would ever give to them, and you gave them some money. You hugged them. You spent time with them. You took them to lunch. It's a lot of different ways you can heal a person. You gotta go before the Father and see how He wants to use you, or you end up in one of these denominations where they make you feel small because you can't do what the pastor do. Anybody trying to do what you do? You can't do what I do. I heal people just by teaching. Just by teaching. Jesus said, you're clean because the words I spoke. I spoke to you. I didn't cast no devils out of my disciples. And surely Peter needed it. Surely Judas needed it. He had a spirit of betrayal. Let us tell it. And so Paul said, my children, with whom I am again in labor until what? Christ is formed in you. This is why the Spirit speaks to you. Until Christ is formed in you. This is why you need teachers to form Christ in you. Has Christ formed in me through the stages of sonship? This is why I have to come to church. Because the scripture said that he predestined me. You know what predestined means? Meaning he predetermined it. Meaning he gave you a destiny before you arrived. And in that destiny, you had to conform to his son. There's no way out of it. There's no way around it. Everybody he foreknew, which is everybody. Hitler. Come on. Everybody he foreknew, he predestined. You will conform. So what does this mean? That when the Spirit is talking to you, it is telling you to conform. If you do not hear the Spirit telling you to conform, you don't hear the Spirit. You don't hear your Father. This is why he told him, in Galatians, he said, as long as the heir is a child, you differ nothing from a slave, although you own everything. He said, but I had to put you under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. You have to be nurtured and raised, and you have to learn how to hear his voice. And it's so important that he said, you can't touch your inheritance until you do. That's why he said, submit to God. Listen to this. Submit to God. Resist the devil. You see this? Submit to God. What did he say? Well, that's what submit means, to come under authority. It's to bring your voice, your ear under him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and I'll exalt you. He let you, if you do this, I'll do that. I can't exalt you until you humble yourself. Until you become poor in spirit. This is the Spirit speaking. Why do I know? Because that's what the scripture said. And every scripture was God breathed. So he says it's going to take tutors and governors. This is why when it came to the fivefold ministry, he said the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher, I probably missed one. He said they are there to equip the saints to do ministry. Say, I'm supposed to be doing ministry. Okay, he said equip you to do ministry. We're equipping you to do the ministry. Not we come teach you, you go home, and then we see you next week. You did no ministry all week. He said to build up the body of Christ. You supposed to be building up the body of Christ. Say, I'm supposed to be building up the body of Christ. Not tearing it down. Not finding everything wrong. He said this, I ain't like this. He did this, she did this, I ain't like this. You trying to tear it down. He said, build it up. It's easy to complain and find stuff, but won't you be the solution? He created you to do that. Whatever we missing, you got it. If you see it, come on. Whatever we missing, if you see it, then you got it. He showed you. Amen? He showed you because it's in you. He didn't show you to tell me to do it. So he said, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, he says, until, you see what I'm saying? Until, which means there's a point where we shift. Until we all come into the unity of faith, one, believe in spiritual things, the knowledge of the Son of God, why? Because that's what I have to conform to. To a full measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. So he said the purpose of church is to bring you to a full measure of stature in which the spirit realm and the world don't know a difference between you and Jesus. When the spirit realm see you, it'll be just like when they seen Paul. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? Paul was fully mature. The spirit realm said it. He didn't say it. He didn't say, I am fully mature. The spirit realm said it. They came and tried to cast that demon out. He said, Paul, the demon spoke. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? I don't know you. Why? You're not mature. You're not participating in the divine nature. You're not hearing according to sonship. You're not hearing in a manner that you are being matured into the life. But you just want to practice what Paul doing. Say them spirits, beat them to death. UFC before UFC. Okay? So he said the purpose of us doing this by the Spirit, even on your leadership, the Spirit is on the leadership, is to bring you to the fullness of the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ, which is one, the mind of Christ. You're supposed to be thinking like Christ. That's how you know you mature. You don't have to size up nobody else. You can size up you. Then the soul is supposed to be brought to a place where it's prosperous. The Bible says that you will be prosperous and in good health as your soul prosper. So the more you come into agreement with what the Father said, he said, you will be prosperous. Any way that you are not prosperous is because you're not doing it his way. Then you are to have a heart for the kingdom. This is why the Bible talks about him doing a heart surgery. He said, you have a heart in which, because of what happened in the world, he said, it does not absorb correctly. I keep telling you I love you, and you keep acting like you don't hear me. I keep telling you you special. Come on. I keep telling you you chose. I keep telling you I called you, but you listen to other people. Why is it that you can absorb people's conversations, but you can't absorb mine? So we got to do a heart surgery. We got to remove this tattered heart that's been rejected by everybody. That's why sometimes, I need you to hear this. That's why sometimes he isolates you. You think people left you. No, I need to get you away from them until their voice become faint. Until you see them and you say, hey, how you doing? Hey, can we hang out? No, not this. Or you know how we do. Yeah, I'm going to call you. You know you're not going to call them. Spirit told you not to. So he has to do a heart surgery because he needs you to have a heart for his kingdom. This is why Jesus is walking around saying the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. What? His heart. He said his meat and drink is to do the will of the Father. This is why the Spirit came on him and descended on him and rested on him. He said the one in which you see the Spirit remain, this is him. It came on him in bodily form, robes, mantles, crowns. And now, the reason why it needs to come on you like that is because the angels are looking. Because the angel, that's why it says that a man should not pray with his head covered and a woman should not pray with her head uncovered. And it says it's because angels. The angels are looking at you according to what you're on, the garments that you wear in the Spirit. So this is why in John 14 and 26, it ain't up there. You can write it down. He says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. It's even a place in the scriptures where the Bible says that you have an anointing from God and you know all things. There's a place you can mature in which you can hear the Father's voice so clear that you don't need people to teach you. You know what that means? Now it's time for you to do ministry. Now it's time for you to join the staff. You don't hear the Father at a level in which you know all things and then you sit at home. That's an assignment. That's why he told his disciples. He said to you, I speak. He said to the people, I speak in parables. He said, but to you, it is given to know the mysteries. So there's always two groups. There's a group that don't spend time with him, and he talked to them in parables. They can't figure their life out for nothing because it's in a parabolic form. When it's in a parabolic form, that means you got to study. You got to break that down. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. What's a mustard seed? You got to study. And when you learn about a mustard seed, you understand the kingdom. He said that to the people, but when he got before them, he explained it. So they heard something. Why? Because they were close-knit. They were following him around. They would not leave. He said, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to reveal all this stuff to you. If you're not going to follow me, he said, if the teachings that I've given you, if you don't eat that and continue to eat that, he said, even what you got, I'll take it away. So he said, there has to be consistency here. You have to come after me. And the reason why he's saying this, because either you're coming out after the kingdom of God or you come after the kingdom of darkness. You living for one. You either living in light or you living in darkness. And depending on one you live in, it will be how you hear. Amen? Okay. Y'all funny. Y'all, how y'all be sitting there looking at me? Romans 12 and 1. Now, the Spirit speaks to you because he needs us to conform. The Spirit speaks to us. Why? Because of conformity. Why does the Spirit speak to us? Because he needs us to conform. Sonship. This is why Paul said, therefore I urge you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. This ain't somebody making you do something. That you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. This is what you're doing now. You are living a holy sacrifice. You're sitting here learning how to be holy in real time. When you study, you're becoming a living. Come on, when you pray, you are living in holy sacrifice. He said, we are a holy priesthood. We are a spiritual house. We are put together to offer up offerings to heaven. Nothing gets done in the planet. I gave y'all the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind, you ain't bound nothing in months. Unless it's messing with you. He said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bound in heaven. I'll agree with you. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. This is not about your life. This is about what needs to get done on earth. So he said, I need you to present your body as a living sacrifice. Come before me in prayer. He said, this is acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So there's the act of worship, and then there's a life of worship. There's why I come before my Father, teach me, lead me, Father, guide me, instruct me. And then there's a spiritual service that after he's taught me those things, he can now use me. Am I helping you? Verse 2, and he says, and do not be conformed to the world. I don't want you to be conformed to the world. He said, but I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't want you to be conformed. I don't want you to do it like the world does it. He says, if you're friends with the world, you're his enemy. So when you see how the world do it, you need to disconnect yourself and see, how does my Father do it? A lot of times you will find out the world is mimicking him, just in darkness. He said that you may... He said, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, until your mind is transformed, you cannot conform. Say that. You cannot conform. Until you make up your mind, I am going to live for my Father. Until you make up your mind, I am, because that's what trans means. It means I'm coming to the other side. We should know that by now, right? Okay. We should know that, right? The world will teach you something. Okay? He said, be transformed, meaning until you decide I'm going to participate in sonship, I'm going to participate in the kingdom, I'm going to live my life to bring you glory, he said, you have not conformed. You're not ready to conform. You still lukewarm. You still straddling the fence. You have not made your mind up that it is sonship and die. That's what Paul said. He said, for Christ I live. He said, Christ is my life. He said, everything else I counted as dung. You know what dung is? For those who don't know. Manure. Poop. Boo-boo. Crap. He said, every other accomplishment in my life is like manure. It means nothing. Everything I've accomplished, and Paul was an accomplished man. He was a rabbi. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was an educated man. He was an athlete. He was a tent maker. And we see none of that meant nothing to him. Only thing meant something to him was growing in Christ. Suffering with Christ. So until we get to that point, watch this. You have not conformed, because he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may. Come on. So that you may. What? So that you may. You may prove it. Meaning your life resembles. So that you may prove it. The proof that your mind has been conformed is that your life proves it. So that you may prove. So that there, proof, let's get another tense, proof, that you may have proof. So you're not saying I'm a Christian, but there's no signs. You're not saying I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, but your language betray you. Your actions betray you. So he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God. Not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. That you may prove. So it's some time that you have to spend in prayer. Not my will, Father, but your will. What are we trying to prove? Come on, talk to me. What are we trying to prove? His will. Come on. What are we trying to prove? His will. We sound like Jesus now, don't we? Come on. We sound like Jesus now. What are we trying to prove? Jesus said, my meat and drink is to do the will of the one that sent me. Who sent you? Come on. We sound like Jesus now. He said, we do all this so that you can prove what is his will. You are the proof. Jesus gone. He ascended. He ascended. You the proof now. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You are a city set on a hill. Now, in the book of John 1, he said that he was the life, and that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were created through him, and nothing was created without him. That not only was he the Word, but he was the life. And not only was he the life, he was the light of men. So now we are supposed to be the light of men. We are supposed to reveal the life. Not you get to know Jesus. No, they know you. They'll never know Jesus. He's not here. It's knowing you now. Y'all, that's uncomfortable. That's too much. Is that too much? You sure? Yeah. He gonna come back. But for now, you Jesus. You are a living epistle known and read of all men. So you can get to know Jesus. No, when they know you, they should know Jesus. I predestined you to conform to the image of my son so he could be the firstborn of many. Am I teaching? Okay. Teaching builds the mind. When you preach, you attack the heart. I ain't attacking your heart. I'm building your mind right now. He said, prove what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So this is what we have to prove. I used to teach Church 101. Who remember Church 101? In Church 101, it gives us the three reasons why we come to church. And the first reason why we come to church, the first reason why we here first, come on, why you get out the bed, come on, is so you can conform to the image of Christ. That's the reason why you come to church. When you miss church, you're saying, I don't want to conform. This, I'm not trying to hear that right now. I'm conforming to the image of flesh. I'm staying right here in this bed, and I'm gonna watch a YouTube. I'm sorry. I got y'all business. I shouldn't have said that. So the first reason why you come to church is to conform. You want to conform to the image. Why? Because it's predestined, which means that if the Father's speaking to you about anything, is that. You can say he said anything else, you better include that. You can say, God said, the next thing you better say is conform to the image of my son. That's your daily activity. First thing you do when you wake up in the morning, if the Spirit is speaking to you, it's time to conform. There's a kingdom assignment. So the first reason that we come to church is to conform to the image. Why? Because the scripture lets us know. Not only on your part are you supposed to conform, but then it's somebody that's supposed to labor with you. until it happens. I'm showing up to labor. I know sometimes you think you're showing up to labor to I conform. That's the church. That's the church nowadays. I wasn't with all that. Did you come to conform or did you come to conform the pastor? You came to conform everybody else but yourself. Okay, back to it. So the second reason is to gain spiritual intelligence. And so you can get spiritual intelligence. Because the moment you are born again, you're now in the kingdom of God. So which means every mistake, everything that you do is measured according to his household now. So you could be doing something in the natural and you don't even know it's killing your destiny. You have no idea it's killing your destiny. Because you're ignorant to that realm. You ain't forgave in 6 years. That's the number of flesh, so I just use six. 6 days, how about that? And you don't understand that until you forgive, he can't forgive you. But you're going to hold on to it. Why? You ignorant, which means you're in darkness. You won't just forgive him. Why? So you can be forgiven. Forgiven, why? So you can be out of jail. Because the longer you don't forgive, you entertaining the demonic. Because you can't hear the Father's voice. Because the only thing he can tell you is what? Forgive. So you're entertaining a demonic. And you don't even know it. And you wonder why ain't nothing working. Because you won't forgive. You won't let it go. I don't know why I'm still here. Somebody ain't forgiving. Just let me know. Because you won't forgive. You will not let it go. So you have no idea when you don't give. Come on. And I ain't talking about money. Let's just talk about gifts, talents, and abilities. Let's talk about wisdom. The more you pour out wisdom into people, be a mentor. Find somebody and mentor them. The more you pour the word and wisdom into people, you know he poured into you. The more you pour it into people, he pours it into you. Don't hold on to it. Pour into people. She tell me all the time, stop pouring. Nope. Sometimes she right. I need to stop because I get wore out. I get tired. Because your prayer, the more you pour, you got to pray. Okay? The more you pour, you got to pray. This is my fourth time teaching this week. I taught last Sunday. I taught Tuesday. I taught Thursday. And that ain't mentioning the people I poured into during the week. But the more you pour, you got to pray. And you got to spend time in the word to build yourself back up. Okay? Your gifting, give it away. Give your gifting away. Give your talent away. Stop trying to hold on to it. The more you give your talent away, he opens doors for your talent. The more you hold on to the talent, you want to charge people, he like, no, I'm not. No, I'm a giver. The Father don't have stingy kids. He don't create stingy kids. Everybody who's a child of God has to be generous because your father's a giver and your brother was a giver and they gave their life. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. Come on, he said, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. Do you know that's the mind of Christ? He said, I come to seek and save that which was lost. You know, don't that sound like soul winning? Don't that sound like the ministry of reconciliation? So church 101 is first, I come to conform. That's why I'm here. I'm here to conform. I got my pen out. I got my pad out. I want to conform. I'm going to take what you teach. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to study it. Because why? I want to conform. Then there's spiritual intelligence. And then the last one is co-labor. So after you have conformed and you have gained spiritual intelligence, now you can co-labor with the Father. Now he can use you. Why? Because you're intelligent and you've conformed. Until you become spiritually intelligent, you're in darkness. Because that's what light is. It's divine truth. It means I can hear from that realm. I can hear from my Father's household. Now, how does this happen? By way of soul algorithm. All right? This happens by way of soul algorithm. Now, Jesus told the people, he said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. He says what comes out, though. But in that, he described how the soul works, okay? He lets you know that your mind is like your mouth. Amen? Your mind is like your mouth. Your soul is like your stomach. And then your heart is where things, like how things pass through. So your mind is the entrance into your soul. Your soul is where things are digested. And the condition of your stomach tells the health of your body. We can look at your stool and see if you're healthy. So the soul algorithm is whatever I put in my mind, it enters into my soul. The content of my soul or the development of my soul comes out my heart. Out the heart comes the issues of life. Every passion, every desire that you have is because what you feed in your soul. So if you look at your heart and you say, I want to change my heart, you know the first thing you need to do is watch what you put in your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need a new mind. You need to renew your mind. So you feed your soul to develop your soul. You feed your mind to develop your soul. Whatever you eat or you feed your mind, whatever you entertain yourself with, whatever you listen to is feeding your soul. And so now your response to everything is based on what you ate. That's what your health. You are what you eat. Come on, you are what you eat. You cannot change that. Only thing you can do, you have to renew your mind. The mind is the entrance into your soul. Your soul is where your spiritual life is. That's the difference between all of us in here, is our soul. That's where my talents are, my gifts are, my aversions, my appetite. It's my disposition. It's my character. It's how I think, how I see life. This is what happens in my soul. And so my heart, though, is where I absorb everything. This is why we get in our feelings. They made me feel like this. You know, they only made you feel like this because of how you think. If somebody told you it was ugly, it wouldn't bother you. Unless your mind had ate that in the wrong way. Come on. If you know you fine, if you know you look, come on. It don't matter what people say. But when people say something and your heart grabs it and absorbs it, that means there's an issue going on in the mind. So this is why the Spirit speaks to your mind. It reveals truth. Amen. So, this is all for the purpose of his will being done. All this is so his will could be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we give him our mind. Oh, you know, it's a scripture that say, "Hear, Israel, the Lord your God is but one Lord." And he asks for all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. He said, with all your strength, and he said, all your understanding and with all your strength. That's the first thing he asked for. Why? Because that's where adoption takes place at. Give me all your mind. Give me all your heart. Give me all your soul. Do it with all your understanding and do it with all your strength. To the degree you do that, I will develop you. So, to the degree I do that, I respond to my spiritual assignment. And every spiritual assignment that is given to us requires maturity. Oh, this church is going to grow, okay? But it will only be based on how we mature. Come on. Start with me. Anything that he's giving you will grow based on how you mature. Amen? So we respond to him. Because we want to mature and we want to do the thing that he has called us to do. And we understand that nothing can get done in earth because God ain't gonna come. I can't stand. I'm sorry for yelling. I can't stand when people say God gonna do it. No, he not. He not. not going to do it. All power. I've given you power. I told you to pray. I said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Why is you leave it up to me that I'm going to do it? The Bible says that he rested on the seventh day from all his works. God not going to do it. You going to do it. You going to pray. You going to fast. You going to read that word. You going to affirm what he said about you. Come on. You going to speak life into situations. Jesus didn't wake up on the boat and said, do it, God. Peace, be still. All things are possible with God. That's because he gave us the way in which to do it. He gave us the blueprint. This is how you do it. Pray. He said, anything you believe in and you don't doubt, it happens. So he's not going to do it. That's your faith. Y'all want another scripture? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently not seek him. So you got to seek him. Father, what do you want me to do in this season? Diligently, not every now and again. Because you know we'll seek when stuff get low. We seek when we almost out. So, after salvation is kingdom. You see, I didn't even notice this. Y'all didn't notice it either, did y'all? What am I talking about? Yeah, they out of. But this is why we do the teaching pillars. So that's supposed to be there, okay? So you got to get the relationship before you get the kingdom. Until you get the relationship, you can say you kingdom minded all you want to. You ain't heard the Father's voice. You think kingdom mind is a nice car, a house, and a good job. You think that's kingdom minded. No, kingdom minded is dominion. Kingdom minded is dominion. Kingdom minded means the devil's scared of me. I'm a threat to his kingdom. I am light. After we have focused on kingdom for long enough, now we can become the church. Because the church is what impacts. This is when we are ambassadors. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are his peculiar people. We are sons. We are daughters. You can see it in me as a man. You can see it in me as a husband, as a father. This is the church. It's impact. My marriage is a light for other marriages. My children are a light for other children. This is the church. And then this is why we do ministry. We do ministry to give people the relationship. To introduce them to the kingdom, which is the Father's household, how he does things. So eventually we can become the church, because all of us have to grow up into the body. All of us have to grow up into the head. None of us are isolated in this situation. He's not coming for you, Serena. Come on. He ain't coming for you, Ken. He's coming for a body. He's coming for a body. Heaven is not for a person. He's looking for a bride. Come on. Come on, my man. When you're looking for a wife, you're looking at somebody that fits your destiny. Come on. He said, a man that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, if he said that and we're the bride, he's not trying to walk down the aisle with anything. He's not trying to walk down. You want to marry an immature woman? Come on. So that means we have to develop. Not just me. We have to develop. This is a us thing. Give us, lead us, deliver us, forgive us. What you doing, sister? All right. I think I'm done.